Hello and welcome to the Professional Cricketers Association podcast. My name is Stuart and we're at the annual PCA Transition Conference. The average age a cricketer's career comes to an end is just 26 years old, and transitioning from professional sport can be a daunting prospect. We'll be diving deeper into what the conference is all about and how current cricketers can prepare for life after cricket. We'll be catching up with a number of current and former players, including an open and honest discussion between Chris Nash, Graham Onions, Will Porterfield and Jack Chantrey. But firstly, I caught up with Lindsay Williams, a personal development manager at the PCA and someone who I'm sure many of you are already familiar with. She set the scene of the event for us and discussed what the association are looking to achieve with this transition week.
We're at St George's Park and we're undertaking our transition conference, which is a two-day event for current and recently retired and released players, focusing in on the skills that they need, some of the key knowledge that they require as they make that transition from playing into a second or sometimes third career. What's brilliant is we've got players from all the 18 first class counties represented here, and the key thing for us is that they go away with some really core knowledge about the basics of transitioning well, be it financial advice, pension advice, but we also upskill them in certain areas that are going to help them with that transition. And there's kind of core skills that will give them confidence in that next step. And so although it's great we're doing this transition conference, I suppose it's important to make the wider population aware that we start really early. What are you doing at school? Are you going to get your qualifications? How can we support you to do those dual careers? What's been really powerful is we have former players who've gone through the transition and they've all got different stories. And we had a really powerful session yesterday where three players were talking about their particular journeys, and it gave opportunities for the people attending the conference to say, well, tell me more about that. And I should say we also cover the mental health and well-being aspect. So we've had a really good session from Gary Bloom from Cognacity, talking about how you keep yourself well as a current and former professional.
Former Leicestershire cricketer Jeremy Snape has forged a unique career path following his retirement from cricket. Jeremy is now a leading psychologist within sport and business and is acutely aware of the challenges facing players within transition. He discussed with us the psychological effects of retiring and how players can successfully manage their own transition to a new career post-professional cricket.
Yeah, I think the PCA have been leaders really in all the sporting bodies in a number of fields. So the mental health initiatives, financial planning and long-term support for individuals and families. I think through the various initiatives that have been going for years, the PCA are an incredible support. So to see them focusing on transition is no huge surprise. And I think creating an environment where former players can come and talk openly and share their, you know, stories, warts and all, that's really important. I don't think the cricketing family is so strong that there's no good people coming in and telling their stories about how they actually smashed it and did everything really easily, because I wouldn't believe them anyway. But I think the fact that former players are coming back and showing some of the pitfalls and some of the mistakes that can happen in sport and business as you make that transition, but also encouraging and inspiring the current players to get going, to be the CEO of your own business. Don't sit there as the victim. Actually get on with it and start to make some of these decisions, because we know retirement will come at some point from cricket and we want to make that transition into the second career as fulfilling and productive as we can. Your identity is so much to do with your job. You know, even for people in the workplace, you know, you go to a dinner party in suburbia and people say, you know, what's your name and what do you do? They don't want to know about your family and your aspirations and your kids' names necessarily. They just want to know what you do. So we're defined by what we do. And we also throw so much of our discretional effort and focus into our jobs because it's the only place we're measured. In sport, we get, you know, the number of runs or the wickets that we get. And in the commercial world, we have a salary or a, you know, sales target that's up on the board in the office. So we judge ourselves by what we do. And when that gets taken away, it can leave us feeling, you know, really challenged. So my advice to people is to build a portfolio, you know, invest in other parts of your identity, you know, consider yourself as a great husband, a great partner, a great son, a great brother, you know, a great charity ambassador, whatever it might be. But don't just see yourself as a cricketer, because at some point that part's going to get chopped away either by the natural aging process and having to retire, or by an injury, or by getting the sack. And it's so important that you've got stability by seeing yourself in other roles. So I think so often people think that by focusing more on their cricket and becoming more single-minded, they'll be more successful. But actually, I would say the opposite is true. The more you can build stability and breadth in your personality and your options, then it gives you more confidence so that you can focus on your cricket and enjoy your cricket without being so pressurized that you have to get another contract at all costs. Because if you've got other skills, you've got other opportunities, and you've got other choices, then it's an incredibly liberating place to be, and you actually play with freedom and enjoy your cricket even more. I think the game of cricket sets you up brilliantly for the skills that you need later in life. Clearly, if you're going to go into business, there's no batting and bowling in the corridors, but I think some of the character elements are critical. You know, you've got that drive and ambition that's taken you through your career. That fuels you through a lot of the setbacks that you have and the injuries. You've got that ability to read the game, that strategic thinking and that creative problem solving that allows you to adapt your skills to exploit a match situation. All batsmen and bowlers have got that. And then you've got that ability to be disciplined and sacrifice for a goal that you must have if you've had a professional sporting career. And of course, that ability to work as part of a team, which, you know, most businesses are desperate for people that are team players, as well as balancing that with that personal ambition. So I think cricket is a rare foundation, really, for people as they make the transition. But I think the biggest issue people have got is they see it as a completely different field. So they worry so much about, how do I get into business, or how do I start a new coaching career? But if we take confidence from some of those skills that we've got deep down that we've been using for 10 years, then it's really about starting small, having the courage to make some phone calls and start building some new networks and finding out what you like and what doesn't work for you, and then adapting after that. So life after cricket can be a bit scary, but you need that courage and drive to keep going on the other side of the transition.
Much like Jeremy, former Northants batsman David Painter is someone else who's excelled with his own business venture while staying within the cricketing realm. With Painter, his self-named company, a specialist in cricket footwear design, he has created a seriously impressive brand and product. We discussed his journey as an entrepreneur so far.
Yeah, from retiring, I guess, you know, I was ready to retire at the point when it finally came around. You know, I'd played cricket since I was knee-high to a grasshopper kind of thing. So, you know, I had a good stint at professional cricket. I think I came out of it when I was like 25. So it's nice to be able to say that you've actually been a professional cricketer. You know, there's not many people that can say that. So it's a nice small percentage that are privileged. So, yeah, it was good.
And in terms of your business, tell us a little bit about what your business does and what was the thing that made you think, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, the brand's called Painter Brand, which is my surname. You know, the concept behind this is, as a player myself, what we used to do is spike some trainers up. So you've got your best pair of trainers, whether it be, you know, an Adidas or a Nike, dare I say it, and you get them sent off and they rip the sole off and they put their own spikes in there. So you actually end up with the best pair of trainers, stylish, lightweight, what you can actually wear on the cricket pitch. So the idea there was, you know, the guys are missing a trick there. So there's a gap why the players are not buying the cricket shoes available, but they're actually going to the extent to get these trainers bespoke to them. So that's where the concept came from, to create that kind of shoe which appealed to the guys.
And was there anything you thought about, things you'd adapted from your cricket career to take into your business life?
Yeah. You know, I was very much a risk taker in the cricketing world, especially the way I batted sometimes, which probably backfired. But I think that's definitely gone into my business career. But I think as an entrepreneur, you have got to be a risk taker. You know, maybe more calculated risks in business, because there's money up for grabs. But it's definitely kind of reflected in the way that I do business as well, yeah.
And in terms of the PCA, how was the support that maybe you might have looked for or that they would have offered you?
The PCA, they've been fantastic, to be fair. They're really good. And, you know, I was straight onto the PCA once I launched this brand, and they were just super helpful. You know, what can we do for you? Let me know, draft an email, how we can help, and we'll see if we can accommodate that. And they did. They put us on as an approved brand, which was fantastic, with New Balance. And, you know, they spread it out, the word, to the professional staff with a discount and what have you. So they've been fantastic. I can't thank them enough, to be honest.
and you've been speaking to other cricketers who might be coming up to the time where they choose to retire soon, if you could give them one piece of advice for when they're thinking about it and how to make that transition smoothly, what would you say?
I think, you know, go with your gut. I think if you have, I've always said go with your gut, and if you've got an idea or you want to do something, then just go for it, you know, because if you don't try, you'll never know. And that's what I've always said. So, yeah, just go for it.
We were fortunate enough to be joined by several players in attendance at the conference. Jack Chantrey, who recently retired in June, Chris Nash, Graham Onions, and Ireland captain Will Porterfield. We started by asking the guys what they thought of Transition Week.
I find it's been really good. I wanted to come in with a pretty open mind, and I didn't actually really expect or wasn't expecting to take anything away from it, which is how I wanted to approach it. And I think it's been quite good for me, but I also think that's been a couple of months in the making by talking to Lindsay from the PCA, and she's been really good, and this is actually coming to ride a pretty good time, and there's been quite a lot. And I think having the three lads in yesterday talking about what they've actually done, and they've made that transition, so it's actually there in front of you seeing what's actually happening, and having companies say we hire ex-sportsmen and these are the skills that we find transferable, and you can start to relate to that. It's just probably made things a lot clearer. Because it's easy, people say that to you a lot, but then it's actually become clearer throughout the couple of days.
Yeah, definitely. It's almost taken the edge off things a bit, isn't it? It's like, I know, Jack, you've obviously just finished playing, and you know, we're all getting a bit older as well around the table, but it's when people say that it's okay and there's ways to do it and it's actually manageable. And I think once you start to make it real and manageable, then you become take a bit of comfort in that, because I suppose we live in these bubbles, don't we, where it's all done for us and we're scared. Yeah. You know, out of our wits that it's going to end and we're going to have to do something else. But I think a lot of the guys coming in have made us think it's actually okay and we can do it.
Yeah, definitely about being scared out of the bubble. I think the thing I learned a lot was the assertiveness speech we had earlier today. And I think as cricketers, we're very guilty of being quite passive and letting people come to us. We're the cricketers and the members or fans come up and introduce themselves to us. But actually us getting out there and making the first move is something I haven't done much of in my career.
I think when you come, well, for me, the last couple of days have been great, as in you don't realistically know how close you are to retiring. You might actually play another 3-4 years, even though only last year your contract. And it's a case of, well, what potentially are the other doors that you can open to try and give yourself the best opportunity? And actually the big thing is you can do it, but it's up to yourself to do it. As you said, Jack, is that you expect people to come to you and go, oh, I've got a job for you, but actually you can't get that, but you've got to actually go out of your comfort zone and do it. And that's by just picking up the phone and just being like a good bloke and just trying to find out. Because where people in a benefit year in cricket used to go, oh, I'll sponsor you, I'll give you this, where it's actually, that's in a way, it's taken away from you, and you've got to go out and get it, really. Yeah. But the big thing is, actually, I'd never thought I'd be in finance, but speaking to the guys, yeah, from a massive company, is that, well, actually, we could give you a shot, and actually, you might be really good at it. And I was thinking, I still think, nah, that's never going to happen. But they might actually do it. They might do it, which is great.
Mm. Big thing for me was actually a big thing. I always thinking, like, what is the end goal? What do I want to do when I finish playing cricket? And it's like going straight into a job with a salary and this, that, and the other. But there's so much you can do. You're right, we don't know when we're going to end. It could end at any time. But if you'd like to think we've got a bit of time, like a year, 18 months even, but it's the small steps that you can take. We've all got so much time in our hands, as much as we probably say we don't, but the little things you can do along the way, making those connections, just taking things off, so start and get a good foundation, so it's not as actually daunting as thinking it's one big thing. You can break it down and make it a lot easier for yourself.
You're, I suppose you think we get our dream jobs, don't we, till whenever we finish playing, 30, 35, 38, and it's having that dream job and then thinking you're going to move straight into your next dream job, which reality, not many of us get the chance. I mean, Snapey was probably the nearest example, only of someone who moves seamlessly into something he loved. But Steve Clarke said that he did a crap job for a year and that gave him the breathing space to then find a job which he now loves, like 8 years on. And I suppose that's the scary thing of having your dream job, having it define you, and then not having that dream job and doing something you don't want to do is probably the biggest fear. And a lot of the guys the last few days have kind of got rid of that myth a little bit for me personally.
I came on here like slightly open-minded, but did you guys think, I've got outgoings that I need to pay, so I need to be on certain money? Like, because I think as cricketers, you get paid good money, it's a short period of time, but then you think, well, actually, is going into finance actually going to pay the bills? Is it going to? Because realistically, that's a big, you've got a young family, you need to look after them, so naturally you want to try and push your boundaries to try and earn as much money as you can. But interesting if you guys thought that.
Yeah, well, I retired in June, and I suppose you always have a bit of an ego because you're the breadwinner and you're the main earner in your family, be it if you've got kids or not or whatever. But knowing that you actually might have to lower your expectations, maybe your partner has to be the breadwinner for a while. Actually, you have to learn a lot about yourself. What I found one of the negatives since retiring is there's very little structure.
It was a funny one because people always used to say, like, if you weren't a professional cricketer, what would you be? And I reckon everyone was like, oh, well, I'd be struggling, or I'd be on the dole or something. And you might actually still think that, but actually the last couple of days is that you go, well, actually, I reckon there is opportunity to go out there and to meet some really good people that are willing to help and give you an opportunity to go and work it out, try and find it out. And like what Snapey said, is like, be in charge of your own kind of destiny in a way. That's kind of the, I don't like change, but I reckon that once your cricket career finishes, you've got to be open to change and give yourself an opportunity to go and make mistakes and learn. It's very similar to cricket, isn't it, really, when you first start?
Yeah, that's what I mean. We forget about what it was like when you first started. And obviously, sometimes you start off your own county and come through the age groups potentially, but a lot of us end up trialling around, or you might not get that first contract in your first 2 or 3 years. Albeit you're younger, you may be living at home or you've got less expectations of that. So, yeah, I get that. But it's a similar scenario when you step out of cricket. You're going to do something fresh, so you got to give yourself that time. But the biggest thing for me is the stepping stones are there. They give you that opportunity to find out what you want to do. It's a different way of looking at it, as opposed to thinking potentially going to your dream job is actually, well, working out what will I be happy doing. And there generally will be a pathway to a job there that will make you happy in what you want to do and what you want to get from it.
Yeah, it definitely feels like your first few years as a player, generally you stumble through it and, you know, you fail, you fall over a few times, and then suddenly you find your place in the squad and the team, and then you build a career. And, you know, the information we're getting given is that that's the same thing in the real world, isn't it? We go from having a successful career in one industry, and then we're going to stumble and then hopefully have another successful career in our next one, which is, again, I think it's just taking a bit of the heat off and making it real without being scary.
And also think having all our cricketers around us, like sitting in the room with like 15 other lads that are in the same situation, because you can't think it's like a big, like, not lonely place, but like you're on that journey on your own, but there's actually so many other people in the same situation. And if you sit down and someone else is telling you their story, you're like, well, what have you got to worry about? Mm. But it's the exact same for you. If you flip it around, when you're speaking to that person, they're thinking the exact same.
You know, we work in teams, we're driven. You don't play professional sport unless you're driven and you want to be the best at what you do. I think when you look at, especially what the finance guys, they have quite a clear list of attributes they like. And I think generally across the board, if you play professional sport, you know, you come back from failure, you want to improve, you work hard, you're a good part of a team, and all those things seem to be really transferable into all sorts of industries, which we probably hadn't even thought of.
Yeah, and probably couldn't have said that yesterday morning if you'd asked us. It just made things clearer in our own heads, because you can't speak for everyone, everyone's different personalities, but it's something probably generally British people or ourselves, you don't give yourself as many raps as you do. And when you actually think about it and listen to what he said, it's like, well, yeah, take that box, I can take that box, take that. It's actually then just going right and presenting that to someone is one of the things as well.
So I work closely with Lindsay at Worcestershire, met frequently when I retired, and sort of helped me with the transition, put me onto courses, put me in touch with certain people, and just it's like a support network, if you like. And yeah, she's been a big help, and the PC obviously support that as well. One big cricketing family, and they're sort of big proponents of that. So yeah, PC have been a great help for me since I retired.
I think for me is, and I've not used them potentially as much as maybe I could have, but it's actually, it's like having like a really good friend that you know that you can actually pick up the phone and ring. If I need them, I know that they're there. And that's actually probably the best compliment you can ever have, because I think I'd be in some trouble if I was ringing them every single day, because I'd be thinking, hang on a second. But if you know that if you go through either depression or you're struggling for a job or whatever it might be, is that if you can actually pick someone up, and we've got loads of names there, whether or not it's a helpline, I think it's really good, because as you said, they're just like a friend that is just there to, that is willing to help and be a sounding board, get something off your chest, or actually are willing to help you, I think, along the way.
Yeah, I mean, I looked through that brochure earlier, the PCA, and of all the names of people who work there, you know, you've got commercial and marketing and all these guys. And actually, when you think about, I know personally how much contact I've had with a whole range of those people, and it's all to help. So generally, you know, you speak to Lindsay, you know, does the same for me at Nottinghamshire. You speak to her every time I speak to her and have a conversation, I walk away thinking, everything will be all right, even though it's quite daunting. I speak to Gavin Hamilton in the commercial department about doing work, and they generally, everyone comes back and just wants to help you. And it's a pretty great thing to have in a career that will end at some stage, kind of in the middle of our working lives. So it's that massive safety blanket of cricket, which we get from the PCA.
They're probably a bit underappreciated to some extent, because we're three counties we happen to be at, Lindsay's there, but the amount of information you get off her and the amount of contact time you have with her, and then you take 20 lads in each squad and she's always there and she's always straight back to you with anything. So probably goes a bit underappreciated what they actually do and how much they actually do for cricketers.
I think we're lucky, really, because I reckon going back on many, many years now, is that they never had them.
So obviously a great network of support coming from the PCA to any professional cricketers looking to make the transition once they'd retired. However, we wanted to know if there was anything they wouldn't miss about their careers.
Big things I'll miss about playing cricket, I mean, the service stations are pretty special, Ginster's sandwiches, stuff like that. But probably just when you've had your fourth or fifth low run, low score, and you walk in and everyone's just looking down at their feet in the crowd and you have to walk through them. Trent Bridge is quite hard for that. You have to walk real close to them, and it's just that horrible feeling you've let everyone down. And I think, to maybe not have that when you finish playing, maybe a kind of fresh start, and you might enjoy it.
Yeah, I pretty much sums it up.
Yep.
We've all been there, I'm sure. Well, it's with the ball, there's been times where you just want the ground to swallow you up, and you've had that. Obviously, you will miss the highs as well. Within that, they're probably fewer and far between than the lows, but it's the nature of the sport. But yeah, the hard work that you have put in, you won't miss those gym sessions, and as you said, nicking off a few times early on and 11:05, you're still sitting there with your three down at the end of the day.
2 minutes to 11.
I won't miss that side of it. But yeah, hopefully a couple more years to go, but yeah, I won't miss that side.
I'm not going to miss the yo-yo test. I have nightmares about that noise. And fitness tests are definitely.
At 36, you're thinking, this is my time to finish when you're going through that. But I think as cricket lads, we'll always have that competitive edge. But it's maybe looking forward to not being in so much pain as a fastballer. That's for
you need new boots. Yeah. Keep wearing the same boots all year.
Yeah, exactly. Change my boots.
Speaking of those that have hung up their boots and moved on to a career away from cricket, former England Lions and Derbyshire batsman Stephen Moore is a perfect example of a former cricketer making that transition from one dream career into a second dream career within engineering. Stephen, who now works at Rolls-Royce as a cost programme manager, tells us about his own successful journey despite some initial struggles.
It was challenging, that's for sure, but it was also quite refreshing. I think as you come towards the back end of your career, you start in much the same way as at the beginning of your career, you start looking with open eyes to what the future might hold. And so the hardest thing was making the decision. Once the decision was made, it was actually quite exciting to think about what might be in the future.
How did you cope? What was the biggest change you found?
The biggest change, I suppose, was that routine. The fact that for the previous 10 plus years, I'd had a steady beat in terms of what my vision was, what I was doing, and you had a structure in front of you from training to matches to travel and that kind of stuff. And now it was your own master. What are you going to do? And then once you get through that phase and you get employed and you start looking at how your day-to-day routine goes there, is that a different type of patter?
And was there anything you took from your day-to-day life as a cricketer into your new role after you'd retired? Any sort of transferable skills that you noticed or maybe didn't notice until later on that you'd used?
There's loads of transferable skills. I think that's one of the things that I think as a sportsman you've got to get comfortable with pretty quickly, is the fact that the world of business is not foreign just because you've been a professional sports person. There's a little bit of credit that you have to build up, but the things that made you successful as a professional sportsman are also the things that allow you to develop some competitive advantage in that marketplace. The attributes that enabled you to be successful actually make it easier when you get into the workplace, because working hard, doing some extra hours, the stress, the pressure, the other kind of things that other people might find uncomfortable, come naturally for a sports person.
And in terms of the PCA, how did you find the support that you were offered or looked for? How was that?
PCA were brilliant. I mean, from the point of view of trying to highlight at an early stage that you needed to be thinking about this, not just when you're getting to the back end of your career. And the sooner you can start thinking about it, the better. It's very unlikely that you're going to walk out of cricket into the perfect job. So the more you can experience while you're playing, connections you can make and things you can learn, even if it's a case of, I know that I definitely don't want to do that, I don't like that, then that helps you when you finish to focus your mind on the things that you want to do. My story, I I was lucky enough, I did a master's degree before I actually went into cricket, and I think I had a head coach, a director of cricket, who was very keen for me to finish my master's before I even signed my first professional contract. So I got an engineering degree, and then I played for 10 years of professional sport when I told my parents I'd play for a year. And when I came out the back end of that, I realized that my degree probably was a little bit old now. I needed to make myself a bit more relevant for the business world, so I did an MBA. And the PCA were brilliant at helping me understand what I needed to do, you know, what were the good schools I needed to go to, and how to sort of get myself prepared for that. And I completed most of that before I retired. But having that academic structure behind me gave me a little bit more confidence to make the jump when I made the jump. And I had a firm who offered me an opportunity to go straight into work for them. So I finished off my MBA while working in private wealth management. I always knew I wanted to go into engineering, but engineering companies wouldn't take a professional sportsman seriously, so I couldn't get anything. And I worked in a private wealth management firm. I moved from there into corporate consulting in a niche area of finance, not because I liked it, but because I knew that area better than most. So I had a knowledge set that made me able to use that, but I didn't like it. It wasn't what I wanted to do. And at the first opportunity when Rolls-Royce had an opportunity for me to go in there, I joined a sort of a management recruitment workshop sessions that they were holding actually down in Derby at the football ground. Went through some testing and interviews, and that was an interesting process. You know, I think as a cricketer, you don't really ever go through that, you know, quite a grueling interview process. And the back end of that, uniquely, rather than applying for a role, they placed me in the business. They said, we want to have you and we'll find a place for you. And then I had interviews with various managers in Rolls-Royce. And then they put me, I got my current role and I finally got into engineering. But it took me probably 4.5 years of graft to get to a place where I was, you know, starting to build some cool stuff.
If you could give cricketers who might be thinking about retiring soon a piece of advice, what would you say to them?
You know, think about it early enough and start giving yourself that time. So for me, the time was get your finances in a place so that you don't have to take the first thing that comes. One of the awkward things about being a cricketer is you often retire at the time when life is financially the most difficult. You might have young kids going to school. You know, most cricketers probably still have a little bit of a mortgage. You know, haven't had a chance to pay it all off. So, you know, bills are quite difficult. So you don't want to take a job just because you have to pay a bill. You want to take a job because it's the right thing to get you to where you want to go to. So the sooner you can think about that and give yourself time. I was lucky I didn't have to take the first job. I could, you know, buy myself that time to get to where I wanted to get to. I think is key. And then lower your expectations from the point of view. You might take your 2 or 3 jobs before you get to where you want to get to. You might be lucky, but, you know, don't expect it. You know, give yourself the ability to say, right, it's going to take me maybe 4 years, 5 years to get to where I want to get to. I might not know what that end goal exactly looks like, but I know I'm prepared to work for those 4 or 5 years, and I'm not going to take the first thing that lands on my doorstep. I'm going to take the right thing.
Intriguing insight from Stephen, highlighting exactly how much time and thoughtful planning it can take to reach a goal. Worcestershire batsman and our very own chairman of the PCA, Daryl Mitchell, was present to discuss his thoughts on Transition Week, what the players can take away with them, and whether he felt this year's event had been a success.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, transition is something that comes to every professional cricketer, whether it be getting released at 21 or whether it be have you have a long career and finished at close to 40, transition happens, and it's something that everyone needs to be aware of and plan for.
And what do you hope that the current players and other members have taken out of the past 2 days?
I think there's obviously been a lot of information over the 2 days. I think if you can take one thing away with you, whatever it might be, that works for you as an individual, you're in a better position than when we started best part 2 days ago now. So I think it's very individual, but there's been a lot of learning in from different fields and a lot of networking. So I think hopefully everybody's taken something from it.
And any particular highlights?
For me, the presenting and networking skills workshops that we've done have been outstanding. I think as a 35-year-old looking at beyond cricket, it's an area that interests me and something that I can definitely improve on. So hopefully I have picked up a few skills that I can use going to different things over the next couple of years.
And talking to the other members that are here today and yesterday, is there anything in particular that sort of encourages you that this is definitely the right thing that they should be doing?
It's invaluable experience, really. It's great to see a bit of a mixture, actually. Some that have just finished in the game. There's some lads are only in their late 20s who potentially have got another sort of 6, 7, 8 years left in the game. So I think the wide variety, and hopefully everyone here that's picked up something from the week, but also I think the awareness it creates throughout the wider cricketing fraternity, and all our members can learn something about transition, obviously through the communications and the social media and the website and things like that. Hopefully everyone across the game, all our 400 plus current players, can learn something from this week.
And just finally, from your position as chairman of the PCA, what do you say to the people that have been to this conference over the past 2 days in general?
Just continue that learning beyond these sort of four walls, if you like. I think obviously there's been a lot of information. It's important to digest it, but also act on it and make sure we, those that are playing, still keep planning for that future, and those that are, have just come out of the game, make sure they use the skills that they've learned over these last couple of days to forward their future careers. I just think it's vital that you get in contact with your PDMs. They've got a lot of information for you, a lot of help for you, a lot of support, and planning for that when you exit the game is vitally important for that period of transition, but also it gives you some balance to your life in general and will help your cricket as you're ongoing.
Well, that's all we have time for. It's been great to hear about the success of the PCA Transition Conference and all the support that's available to players in making that transition from a professional cricket career. We've heard some of the inspirational personal accounts of former players, discussing the challenges they've faced, how they've overcome them, and the successes they've gone on to achieve in their new careers. I'd like to thank all of our guests for being here with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. And to all of you cricketers facing life after cricket, remember, the PCA are here to support you every step of the way. Good luck.